Hello again, everybody. Thanks for choosing us. This is the Fifth Quarter Podcast, a podcast about college football. I'm your host, John Shomo, and this week we will review a kind of crazy by surprise week six. We'll talk about some other issues in the sport, and we'll preview and pick a few games for this upcoming week seven, which proves to be really interesting. Okay, first of all, week six, again, it looked kind of like a meh week of games. Not a lot of games really stood out on the schedule as blockbusters. Boy, did that turn out different. We'll start in the SEC, where it was just crazy. SEC madness, I guess we'll call it, kind of erupted out of nowhere. First of all, in the early game in the SEC, Texas A&M at home just opened a can of whoop-ass on undefeated and number nine Missouri, 41-10, and it really wasn't that close. They really played well. Missouri had been undefeated with a not-so-strong schedule, and they had kind of been eking out a few games, and they got their lunch handed to them there in College Station. Later on in the evening, we'll skip a game here for obvious reasons. Later on in the evening, in Fayetteville, Arkansas, the Razorbacks, who played some close games, had not a ton of success. We're playing the new media darling, Josh Heupel, and his number four Tennessee Volunteers, who looked, after Alabama's loss, like they were going to vault in the rankings. They were number four as it was. Well, the Razorbacks had other ideas. In a really tough, hard-hitting game, Arkansas beat Tennessee and threw the SEC really into chaos. In between those two games, as I said, the impossible happened, seemingly impossible happened. Poor old Vanderbilt, 0-60 against top five teams in their history. Hadn't beat Alabama in literally 40 years since 1984. Hadn't beat them in Nashville since 1969. 23.5-point underdog. The stands three-fourths full of Alabama supporters, as usually is the case when they play Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt had other ideas. Their quarterback, Diego Pavia, had a stellar game, 16 of 20, 252 yards passing, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and rushed for 166 yards. And when the dust cleared and the field was stormed, Vanderbilt had beaten mighty Alabama 40-35. The number one team in the country went down to one of the teams with one of the worst histories in the history of college football, to be quite honest about it. What a win. I think some issues have arisen for the mighty Crimson Tide. In their last six quarters, dating back to halftime of the Georgia game, the Bama defense has allowed 67 points. Or if you remember, Georgia was way behind, stormed back, actually took the lead the week before Alabama rallied to win, and Vandy puts 40 on them in Nashville. That's the goalposts. I should mention that. The Vandy folks were so happy. They tore the goalposts down, took them out of the stadium, paraded them 3 miles right down Broadway, right down all the fun places in Music City, and proceeded to dump the goalposts in the Cumberland River. What a night for Vanderbilt fans. I'm not sure any of them have seen anything like that in their lifetimes. But just shows to go, yeah, as my dad used to say. Anything can happen on any given day. We'll look at our Buckeyes briefly. Great win for Ohio State at home against Iowa. Iowa's tough to play against. They know who they are. They play the way they play. They're tough to beat. It was 7-0 at halftime. The game was going Iowa's way. It was their kind of game. Ohio State made some adjustments. They've been really good in the second half this year and came out raring to go and beat them 35-7. The 7 points were given up by the second team defense near the end of the game. So really nice win for Ohio State. They have a big win this week. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. In other Big Ten news, Washington out in Seattle toppled that team up north, the team that beat them for the national championship in January. That's a big one. Michigan now has two losses. They have zero room for error and a few tough games to go on their schedule. We'll see. They're on their third quarterback. A guy who's like 25 years old. I forget his name. But they have some searching going on up there in Ann Arbor. What a shame. The big one this week will be Ohio State at Oregon. That's been circled on everybody's schedule all year. It will be on NBC and Peacock at 7:30 Eastern on Saturday night. That has turned into number two, the Buckeyes, versus number three, the Ducks. Wow, that should be quite a game. Ohio State's only lost once ever to Oregon in like 10 games, but that loss was the last time they played at the Horseshoe in 2021. It was C.J. Stroud's first start, I think, as Ohio State's quarterback in the Shoe, and it was like 35-28. The defense was terrible that day, Ohio State's defense. We'll see what happens. They're better defensively. Oregon is a tough team to play, especially at Autzen Stadium. What a game to look forward to. Recapping again to wrap up week six here. In a week that looked ho-hum, it turned out five of the top 11 teams in the AP poll got beat. Number one, Alabama. Number four, Tennessee. Number nine, Missouri. Number 10, Michigan. And number 11, Southern Cal, who didn't get out of Minneapolis with a win. The Gophers beat them up there. Ski-Yuma. Four of the five top 11 teams that lost. Four of the five lost to unranked opponents. I don't know whether that says anything about the current environment in college football. It might be tougher to pick these games because of transfers and NIL and the portal and all that kind of stuff. But that's what happened in a week where it looked like not much was probably going to happen. A couple other things I jotted down here. Time zone travel. We have a couple of major conferences with teams on both coasts. The Big Ten, obviously. And the ACC with Cal and Stanford out there on the West Coast, and most of the teams in the Eastern time zone. Teams traveling three time zones to play, either West Coast to East Coast or vice versa, this season are, by my count, 3-12 on those trips. And one of those wins was by Miami of Florida flying out to Berkeley, down 25 points late in the third quarter. They rallied to win by one, so it was almost 2-13. That's something to look at moving forward, I think, as we have these conferences now spread out all over the place in college football. Okay, let's turn our attention to week seven, which, again, is a week we've been looking forward to for a long time, so there'll probably be a lot of blowouts. That's kind of how it goes. Locally, first of all, Akron, coming off a tough home loss to Bowling Green last week, will travel to Kalamazoo to play Western Michigan. Kent State hosts Ball State. Kent State coming off a bye, still looking for their first win. They'll host the Ball State Cardinals at Dick Stadium. And as we mentioned, the Ohio State Buckeyes will be traveling to Eugene to take on the Oregon Ducks in prime time on the East Coast. Okay, as for our little predictions here, in my week six picks, we were 11-10-1, our one loss record going in. We pick four games a week. Here's what happened. I picked West Virginia +8 over Oklahoma State. Check mark. West Virginia won big. I picked Washington +1.5 over that team up north. Check. They won by a touchdown or more. Texas A&M I picked giving 2.5 points to Missouri. Texas A&M beat them by 31. Check. And I picked Cal 13-point underdogs against Miami of Florida at home. In Strawberry Canyon, they lost by one. Check. 4-0. I can't believe it. We went 4-0 on our picks in week six, which brings us to a 15-10-1 record on the season. I wouldn't necessarily recommend running out to the local casino and placing bets on my picks every week, but that's an eyebrow raiser. I can't believe I went 4-0. So happy days. Now, looking forward to week seven. We'll pick some of these games, but here's some games I jotted down of note aside from Ohio State at Oregon. Ole Miss is at LSU at night at Tiger Stadium, Death Valley in Baton Rouge. Boy, that's a really intriguing one. Both teams have a loss already. A second loss would be nearly fatal, not quite, but nearly fatal for their college football playoff chances. Lane Kiffin will bring his team in there to play the Tigers at night. Very tough task, usually, I'd say. I jotted down a MAC game. Toledo coming off a great win against Miami of Ohio up in the Glass Bowl, 30-20, will travel to Buffalo. That's a trap game almost every time a good team goes in there. Not that Buffalo is real good this year, but it's a strange environment. The stands are very far away. There's a track in between the stands and the football field. They're very far away from you. It's really not very noisy. It's not a very exciting environment to play in. That's a trap game. Toledo better buckle their chin straps for that one. The Red River Rivalry. I almost said that correctly. Red River Rivalry takes place this week in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl at the Texas State Fair between Texas and Oklahoma. Texas, now the number one team in the country. We'll see if they can survive a week as number one as they take on their rivals, the Oklahoma Sooners. That's always a special game. That's one of the special games on the college football schedule every year. Here's one I've got circled, probably because I'm a Mountaineer by birth. Iowa State, undefeated under head coach Matt Campbell from nearby Mountain Union College, will travel to Morgantown for an 8 o'clock night game against the Mountaineers of West Virginia, who, if you haven't noticed, they're a pretty tough team this year. They have a brutal schedule, opened up with Penn State, etc. They had a really nice win last week at Oklahoma State in Stillwater. Blew them out of there, by the way. Iowa State travels to West Virginia at night in Morgantown. Couches piled up outside dorms, ready to go. I tell you what, I don't envy Iowa State's job this week. It's going to be a tough one for them. I'm looking forward to that one as well. So I've chosen four games to pick this week. Here they are. Again, we're 15-10-1 going in. I'm going to take Iowa, 2.5-point favorite at home against Washington. Here's that cross-country travel again. Not quite cross-country, but it's a long trip for the Huskies. Coming off a big win. Iowa coming off a tough loss. Their schedule is very favorable the rest of the way, by the way. I'll take Iowa -2.5 there. In the game at the Cotton Bowl, I'll take Oklahoma. They're getting 14.5 points in a big-time rivalry game. I know Texas is number one. I understand, but this is one of those matchups where you never know what's going to happen. I don't doubt Texas could win that game. I think they probably will, but, boy, 14.5 is too many points to give Oklahoma. I'll take the Sooners. In that WVU-Iowa State game, West Virginia is a 3.5-point underdog at home. I like them at night in Morgantown. I'll take them. Another night game, the previously mentioned SEC matchup between Ole Miss and LSU. LSU getting 2.5 in Death Valley. I'll take that just about any time. So we'll take LSU. So to wrap up the picks here, in case you're keeping score at home, I'll take Iowa -2.5 at home against Washington. I'll take Oklahoma getting 14.5 points at the Cotton Bowl against Texas. I'll take West Virginia getting 3.5 at home at Morgantown at night against Iowa State. And I'll take LSU getting 2.5 points at home at night against the Ole Miss Rebels. So we'll see. I'm not looking for 4-0. That may never happen again the whole rest of the year, but we'll take whatever comes, won't we? So there's our wrap up of the college football world for episode 8 of the fifth quarter. Looking at week 7, go Buckeyes. That'll be a great game to watch. Thanks for choosing us out there in the podcastosphere. This is the fifth quarter. I'm your host, John Shomo. Hopefully your team does well this week. Have a good week, everybody.